If you are interested in joining the Yuppie Clown Troop, which is a group of local khaki-clad citizens in face paint who will perform various vaudeville-inspired public demonstrations in protest to the current condo crisis embracing downtown Asheville, come to the inaugural meeting Wednesday, March 23rd at 7 p.m. at the ACRC, 16 Carolina Lane betwixt Broadway and Lexington. For more information, email Folk the System, that's F-O-L-K, the system, at hotmail.com.
We're traveling in another dimension where sight, sound, and time.
It's astounding, finding, beating, madness. But listen closely.
So not for very much longer.
I've got to keep control.
To the left. With your hands on your hips.
Remorseful what?
No, not at all. In another dimension.
Remorseful what?
Dimension. Well secluded. I feel.
Remorseful what? Remorseful what? Remorseful what? You people have done. Remorseful what? You people have done everything in the world to me. Remorseful what? You people have done everything in the world to me. Doesn't that give me equal right? I can do anything I want to, you people, at any time I want to. Because that's what you've done.
Remorseful what?
You people have done everything in the world to me. Doesn't that give me equal right?
Remorseful what?
I can do anything I want to, you people, at any time I want to.
Sometimes we are the zeros. Or some.
We were talking about.
Remorseful what? You people have done everything in the world. Doesn't that give me equal rights?
On the nines with my.
I can do anything I want to.
Because that's what you're done.
Remorseful what? You people have done everything in the world to me. Doesn't that give me equal rights? I can do anything I want to, you people, at any time I want to. Because that's what you've done to me. If you spit in my face and smack me in the mouth and throw me in solitary confinement for nothing, what do you think's going to happen when I get out of here? Maybe I haven't done enough. I might be ashamed of that, for not doing enough. For not giving enough.
Maybe I should have.
For not being more perceptive. For not being aware enough. For not understanding.
I felt like I've really
Being stupid.
You've got it stuck in your brain that I murdered somebody. What do you want to call me a murderer for?
So, we were talking about, you know, so this is we were talking about a song we don't have it to play. We're not playing it tonight. let me let let's
try right, right.
I don't want people to think we're not playing tonight. We're just talking about because I heard about it and I asked you about it. So, in the song, do you have a title for the song?
The song is called Piggy Bank.
Piggy Bank.
Let me hold it right here. I'm going to give you a brief introduction on what's been going on in the world. So, just to let you know, we are right now with the most important record in the history of the world. At least according to the liner notes. The liner notes say the greatest revolution in entertainment since World War II has been the development of the disco tech. And the greatest revolution in the field of the disco tech was the appearance of Enoch Light's record, Disco Tech. And we're now listening to Enoch Light and the Light Brigade with selections from their album Disco Tech, which proclaims itself as the greatest musical excitement of the 60s. So take things back to a little more current perspective.
Teachers need to be able to have guns available. So no gun control restrictions existing now or that could be put in place would protect people against somebody who is bent on destruction. But she says society needs.
Pende say he could stop this immediately, but the governor says.
You're listening to Andrew Octopus, Mental Illness as a Technology and Vice Versa on FRA Free Radio, Asheville 107.5. And radio4all.net, as well as simulcast on freeradioasheville.org, shoutcast.com, and wherever else, tons of places. We're everywhere. Mental illness as a technology is everywhere. You understand me? Positive and Negative Space, the new zine from Ziggy Cyanide and her crew at the House of the Rising Moon. Just been released. I have my hands on a copy. let's see. It's available for $3. The theme of the last issue is when the everyday becomes commonplace, when the commonplace becomes everyday. You have features including photography, a reflection on drugs by Uncle Beercat, Godzilla Waltz is Punk Dead by Dr. Joseph T. Rashak, D.O.H. Some artwork by me, lots of good writing by people, Positive and Negative Space is one of the best scenes to come out recently. I highly recommend it. Features articles on things like gratitude and the sunglasses match the cocaine tray. You should check it out. Send $3 to Positive and Negative Space, House of the Rising Moon, 207 East Myers Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15210. That's Positive and Negative Space, 207 East Myers Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15210. When the extraordinary becomes commonplace, when the commonplace becomes extraordinary. Fantastic truths about beauty, sex, art, and fear. Another zine that you should be reading. You know, I love web pages. We're going to get into some cyber news in a little minute. Just a minute or two, a little bit. But I have to tell you that if you're not keeping track of the zine scene and flowers on telephone poles, you only really get a small portion of the information that you could be. Survivor Newsletter is a newsletter dedicated to individualism in all forms, from anarchism to libertarianism to fundamentalist Christianity, everything from yard sales to pyramid schemes, missing person information. It's all kind of, well, it's a little creepy, and at the same time very fascinating, in that coast-to-coast AM Soldier of Fortune 700 Club kind of way. My favorite part of Survivor are the classified ads. You have ads for the Hamburger Cookbook, American Flag Disposable Lighter, Sweepstakes Newsletter, Blackjack System, Internet Wholesale Advertising, Wanted to Buy Photos, Tax and Water Filtration Systems, New Jersey Militia Newsletter, An Engine That Runs on Air, Miniature Fruit Trees, Cigarettes for Less, CIA Alien Connection Exposed, Germ Stopper, etc., etc. It's a great clearinghouse for the fringe elements and secret intelligence. If you want to get a copy of that, suggest the donation is again $3. You should send donations to Evans, EVANS, Apartment 2E, 11-15 45th Avenue, Long Island City, New York, 11101. That is Evans, Apartment 2E, 1115 45th Avenue, Long Island City, New York, 11101. It advertises itself as a publication unlike any other, and it definitely is. So check out that. You're listening to Mental Illness as a Technology and Vice Versa. If you keep it here, we will have information about the future of Islam, the possibility of time travel, perhaps even a freestyle or two, and the possibility that recently discredited White House reporter Jeff Gannon was actually kidnapped Iowa paperboy Johnny Ghosh. We're going to go there tonight, deep, deep into the conspiracies, heresy, armed robberies of pharmacies by survivors of shock therapy. Nothing can prepare you. This is Mental Illness as a Technology and Vice Versa. Keep it right here.
Does anybody out there know that for the first time in American history, the U.S. Army was used in a war operation against the American people? About 200 miles north of San Francisco, right near a town called Shelter Cove. Get this, 300 to 400 American GIs dressed and fully armed with the automatic rifles, armed for battle, fanned out on maneuvers through the woods, backed up by a dozen Black Hawk attack helicopters. The mountain people up there were frightened out of their wits. They thought there was a war going on, especially the ones who had soldiers kicking in the doors to their cabins and putting guns to their heads in front of their children. Why? Who was the enemy? Not the communists, not Saddam Hussein, not Earth First or even the Spotted Owl. No, the enemy. They called out the army to put down secretly so as few people outside of Humboldt would get alarmed as possible. It wasn't even a person or an army or a terrorist group. It was a plant. The marijuana plant. And they actually did find a few for the GIs to pull up, and then they had to fly in more from the government stash so the pile would look big enough when they lit the when they lit the bonfire for the network TV news cameras so they could say, yes, another triumph in the drug war. Drug war. War. The American army sent to war against the American people. And we're supposed to feel relieved and secure and protected. Protected from what? A lot of people with more guts than I'll ever have risked their life and limb all last summer at the Earth First Redwood Summer Action up in Humboldt County. They were chaining themselves to redwoods that were three times wider than they were spread eagle. They were 800 years old as the saws buzzed right over their heads. They stood in the dirt as the bulldozers charged them and stopped right at their toes, or people waved clubs at them, charged them with logging trucks, shotguns, you name it. all to try and save some of the last unspoiled virgin forests we have left anywhere in this country, chopped down and made into toilet paper, TV guides, and Weekly World News. On the other side, the loggers saying, what about our jobs? What about our families? What about our lives? You needed wood and cardboard to make those protest signs. We need fuel. We need paper. It's almost gone. Where are we going to get more? The answer for centuries has been right under our nose. Grow more pot! Go about saving the earth from the ozone. We should start by paying all those dirt poor coca farmers in South America and out of work loggers in Fortuna and Eureka and Midwest family farmers and Rust Belt families too, to all get together and grow more pot. Why? Get ready for this. There's a book out. It's called The Emperor Wears No Clothes. The author's name is Jack Harar. It's published by Queen of Clubs. I think there's ads for it in High Time or the Normal National Organization for Marijuana Laws. They could direct you more, I'm sure. And in this book, among other places, it is written, before the 20th century, the marijuana plant provided almost all the world's paper, all the world's clothing, textiles, and almost all the world's rope. None other than the U.S. Department of Agriculture can make four times as much paper from an acre of marijuana hemp plant as you can from an acre of rope. To become economically independent from Britain. Hemp was legal tender in America, a substitute for money, from 1630 to the early 1800s. And hemp seeds are a great source of protein, better than soybeans, and it's cheaper than soybeans, too. More milk than the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Marijuana is legal for medical use in 24 states. Should be shot on sight because smoking pot is treason, because after all it's illegal. Why was marijuana cracked down on? And why was it done so violently? Well, ready? In 1936, Popular Mechanics magazine hailed the invention of a new machine to process hemp, predicting that marijuana hemp would once again become the world's largest cash crop. Or other cutthroat multinationals who happen to have large timber holdings. Didn't sit too well with tobacco barons, for obvious reasons. And it sure as hell didn't sit too well with our old buddies DuPont. Hemp processing uses only one-fifth the chemicals needed to process wood pulp. And DuPont had just patented a new wood pulp sulfide process. And DuPont's patented plastic fibers had just passed up hemp as the number 2 fiber in cotton, and they wanted to keep it that way. And the last thing big drug companies wanted was to lose their share of the ever-lucrative disease industry market to more affordable medicine made from marijuana or other natural ingredients. Because, check this out, you can't own and make money off of patented medicine. That's the medicine. It's all natural ingredients. Maybe that's why we don't have access to beer. Or why the health store I go to keeps getting harassed by federal authorities selling illegal medicine. And they sand the racism fire, playing the racism card just like they do when they want to crack down on rock and roll, or rap, or hip-hop, or something like that. They said that smoking marijuana might cause you to fall under the influence of listening to jazz. I believe it was even said on the floor of Congress that marijuana had to be banned because smoking it might make a black man look at a white woman twice. And let's not forget that U.S. Treasury Department funded a documentary film called Reefer Madness. So marijuana was outlawed as devil weed in 1937. Only 53 years ago, it was legal. Need I say more on why our beloved fearless leaders go out of their way to censor our access to information so damn much? Can you imagine the mass outrage of this kind of stuff ever really got out? And people knew that this so big drug problem they keep reading about and worrying about is these. By the government themselves.
me of the existence.
And now you know. And knowing is half the battle. Or so they used to tell me on G.I. Joe. Now we're telling you on your local important free radio station and the internet and cassette and chemicals, electrochemical kaboom chat room for those with inhalant fumes. The true believers need some ether to keep them alive and awake. That was Jello Biafra with his spoken word track, Grow More Pot, off of one of his spoken word albums, mixed with a little bit of Blade Runner, originally done by Kate Acid. That was later redone into box cutter Blade Runner and released on Cannabis's album C, True Hollywood Story. Never hear much from Cannabis anymore. I wonder why that is. You know, he was on some other... another mentality when it comes to what he was talking about. And then suddenly he got dropped from his label. And then suddenly he got dropped from his label. So, here at Mental Illness as a Technology, we like to help you give you some suggestions on ways that you can be a smart investor, use your money in ways that will help the future. And I believe that I found one. The Time Travel Fund. How would you like to visit, even live, hundreds of years in the future? There may be a way, and that is the purpose of the Time Travel Fund. If you go to www.timetravelfund.com, there is an excellent FAQ, which will give information for anyone who may want to know more about the concept or the idea.
How does this work?
Current scientific theory states that time travel may be possible. However, the technology is a long way off, perhaps hundreds of years in the future. No. Technology will happen very soon. As a matter of fact, you remember how John Teeter said that one of the keys to time travel was the ability to develop many black holes in laboratories, and they announced last night that, or last week I guess, I heard about it last night, that in fact they have created the first miniature black hole in a laboratory. It's in a laboratory in New York, and they will be working on that. That's one of the things that John Teeter talked about as being essential to time travel. As with any technology, time travel will get less expensive as time goes on. Just as the price of a VCR has dropped to less than $70 from the several hundred dollars it cost just 10 years ago, time travel, once it becomes feasible, will initially be very expensive, yet it will become more and more economical as time goes by. How does this help me? The concept is that one day it may be possible for people living far in the future to retrieve you from your current frame of reference, their past, your present, and bring you into their frame of reference, their present, your future. Why would they want to? That is the purpose of the fund. The simple answer is, we pay them to bring you into the future. How? We establish a fund in current time. You make a small contribution to the fund, and in a few hundred years that small amount grows to a very large amount. From that fund, monies will be taken and used to retrieve you, perhaps seconds after you join, perhaps moments before you recorded death, perhaps some other point in your lifetime. Further, the fund may even pay to have you rejuvenated medically, assuming this is scientifically possible at that time, and support you financially for a number of years. How much will this cost me? Our fee is only $10, of which a percentage is placed into the fund to grow and earn interest, and the rest is used to pay overhead for running the website, covering legal fees, paying for your certificate, and maintaining the database of members. Only $10? How is that going to get me a ride into the future? Answer: compound interest. As long as the interest earned outpaces inflation and taxes, the money will eventually build to where the costs of retrieving, rejuvenating, and supporting you are fully covered. For example, if you make a one-time-only deposit of just a single dollar, at only 5% interest compounded yearly in 500 years, that single dollar will grow to $39,323,261,827.22. Please note that we hope to earn 5 interest above taxes and inflation, which is very possible even in today's economy. Tax lien certificates, for example, return 16% or better. If we make 5% above taxes and inflation, then it would be like having $39 billion in today's money. Wow. Yeah, wow. That's the magic of compound interest taken to an extreme. If taxes, fees, and inflation eat up half that much, that's still a wow amount. If it were to earn a single percentage point more, just 6%, that single dollar we invested jumps to $4,497,100,906,135.84. If it costs $10 billion to bring you into the future, you'll still have enough left over to live in comfort for a couple of centuries, and then some. Note, the interest in the examples above is compounded yearly. If compounded monthly or even daily, it grows even more. So what do I get for my $10? A percentage goes into the fund in your name. The interest this percentage earns is earmarked for you, should we be successful. You also get a signed certificate on acid-free paper mailed to you, suitable for framing. Your name is maintained in a database along with your current address. Should you move, you can update your address. Instructions will be included with your certificate. Further, you can put in your will to have the fund notified of the date, time, and place of your death. To be entered into the database, instructions are included with your certificate. We are also working to establish a members-only section of the website, so you can see how the fund is doing at any time. My date and place of death? It's assumed you won't live the 500 or more years it may take for the technology to be perfected, and for the fund to grow. If, as we assumed above, you are to be retrieved at or just before your time of death, they will need to know when and where to find you. This makes it easier. Are there any restrictions? Yes, several. You will not be retrieved if you die by suicide. Sorry, but we don't want your family blaming us for you killing yourself because you think you will get to the future sooner. You will not be retrieved if you die by execution or are killed in the process of or the result of committing a crime. You are responsible for your actions, and the fund is not an excuse for you to take your frustrations out on society. There are no guarantees, none whatsoever. This is pure speculation, but it is a chance. Should something happen, such as the people of the earth bombing themselves back into the Stone Age, you probably won't be retrieved. The fund is a chance to visit the future, not a guarantee. If you want a guarantee, go buy a savings bond and wait 7 years. Will they still be using money in the future? We don't know. However, it is logical to assume there will still be some form of currency used, although it will probably be electronic and not physical. We expect the fund to be converted into whatever form of currency is in use, just as all those different European currencies were turned into the euro. Question: what if they outlaw time travel? Good question. One provision built into the fund is that it must not only be technically feasible, it must be legal as well. A maintenance fund that part of your membership fee goes to can be used to pay whatever it is that passes as lawyers in the future to try and make time travel legal. Laws can be changed. What about getting into heaven? Tough question. Our belief is that if there is a heaven, it has been around for thousands of years and will still be there waiting 500 plus years in the future. Just as if there is some kind of afterlife, it too will still be there waiting 500 plus years in the future. What is the status of the fund right now? Semi-established. By that we mean all monies collected are going to an escrow account until the fund's built enough to open a conventional open-ended trust fund type account. The minimum account to open a fund of the type we are planning is $10,000. A better amount is $50,000. That is to offer the best legal protection and management possible for the fund. Is this a joke, scam, or cult? No, it is not a joke, scam, or cult. We are serious about this. If it were a scam, we would be asking for a lot more than $10. $10 is enough to put you in the fund, print and mail your certificate, and cover our cost of maintaining the database and website. We don't expect to get rich off this for at least 500 years. It is also not a cult. Cults require you to do weird things like cut off body parts, give everything you own to the cult leader, worship flying saucers, and generally change your entire lifestyle. All we ask for is an open mind and $10. When will I be retrieved? We don't know. There are several possible scenarios we can guess at, and possibly more we can't. Here are a couple of possibilities. 1. You could be retrieved seconds before your recorded point of death. This brings up several points. By retrieving you right before your recorded death, it reduces the chance of any Star Trek-type paradoxes. Perhaps a clone of your body will be grown and inserted back in time to your point of death to take your place for the funeral. This possibility also assumes that by then, medical science will have advanced to the point where you can be revived and your body rebuilt to a younger, stronger state. Just think, you may one day wake up 1,000 years in the future, a young, healthy, and physically 18-year-old with several hundred years of life ahead of you. Option number 2, you are retrieved, given the grand tour, and then put back when you were retrieved, either with or without your memories of the future intact. This may or may not be desirable to you. Option 3, you are retrieved and live a normal life in the future. Back at the time of retrieval, your disappearance is treated as an unsolved mystery. As we said, we don't know, because there is no way to know what the technology is going to be like then. We do know the idea has been bounced around in many forms by many science fiction authors. Like the cell phone, fantasy is rapidly moving towards reality. Wait, can I set up my own fund? Yes, however, unless you take care to set it up right, your heirs will be able to go to court and take it any time after your death. Our fund is set up to avoid this problem. To break the fund, they would have to take on a large number of people and families, not just one or two. Strength in numbers. If you want to set up your own fund, then by all means, go ahead. You may want to hedge your bets by joining ours too, just in case. Okay, what about my deceased spouse, parent, sibling, dog, etc.? That's one of the nice things about this concept. The fund is not just limited to the living. You can contribute for a deceased loved one. They could be retrieved moments before their recorded death, just as in the scenario above, or some other point in their lifetimes, and you meet them again in the future. The beauty of time travel used in this way is that it doesn't matter if they already died or not. It's all relative. You can pay for a membership for someone who is already deceased. We have, however, placed a few restrictions on this. The other person must be a close family member. We don't want you bringing Adolf Hitler back. The people doing the retrieval get to make the decisions as to who a relative is. Number 3, the person must not have stated in their will that they do not want to be brought back. One additional note. The fund itself will be a separate non-profit entity from the corporation running this website. The fund will be used to retrieve you, provide medical expenses, and provide you a way to live, such as housing expenses and food, as well as educational expenses and whatever additional training or education you may need once you arrive in the future. This does several important things. Number 1, it reduces the tax bite, leaving more money for the fund. Number 2, it ensures the fund can last 500 years or longer. Number 3, it keeps you from having to pay taxes on the interest in your current time. So how do I join? Go to www.timetravelfund.com and click at the bottom of the page. That's www.timetravelfund.com. In just a moment, I will be right back.
Doing magic tricks on my own chicks. Watching flowers bloom in a BBS, which they then give to chicks with dicks. Sleep deprivation takes me into the matrix. Talking to ages, in a rubber room on a flat mattress. So scared when the algorithm flashes. And the command is the system crashes. Left in the city, smoke and ashes. As the mole people are all pieces of structures plastic. Air echoes and sounds burn. Through the subway tunnels and short wave channels. I see the long purple swings. Cayenne pepper and lemon juice fans. I had to ask all the people in the facts. I realize I'm going to do this. Breathe the pollen in the corn. Corks with the inner trainer. An ancient weapon of his own. Transported here from the future of his own. One code in the journal. FTP. Breathing with pee. Placed with sodium menthol and sweet tea. What do y'all know about leaderless tape? Long arm staplers in negative space. Antique books in a time release safe. Have your dreams are true, have your realities fake. And y'all hired me to tell you the difference. Because it's both my business and my mental illness. For example, just imagine how this tastes. There's an investment banker with a prosthetic face. In a concrete bunker at an undisclosed place. But my sources say it's in a southeastern state. He makes stock trades and pushes real weight. Getting paid at a hectic pace. He's pretty reclusive, just stays at his place. But the wealth he creates circulates through the music. Pays for warehouse rates, makes it exclusive. And now you have it, it's up to you how you use it.
Software. He's a guy, intricate mechanic, nearby purple with manic panic, sleepwalking with an exploding package, fires falling and trying to fly. He was filled with a pseudoscience, just falling sold to my investment clients, for social security teams and PayPal powers.
Always find a way to give him what they need, but now you make real his thing. So the brains bleed all over the books. Where does this overdose leave their kids? They take to the streets, like mainliners injecting deep in their veins. Cranking their secret, their secret, cranking their sticking, their secret, cranking, cranking their secret, radio, 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 newspapers. So deep in the heat, I see no escape, except into their own sound wave. Sound wave generators and music boxes, scientific calculators, all in the pockets. So I go back to the four-track, recycle the tape beat, and I'm not too late.
On March 18th, 2005, there was a historic occurrence at the Synod House on 1047 Amsterdam Avenue. On the northeast corner of 110th Street and Amsterdam Avenue in Upper Manhattan. A Juma, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, Friday prayer led by Dr. Amina Wadud, the first Muslim woman on record to lead a public mixed-gender Juma prayer. On Friday, March 18th, 2005, Dr. Amina Wadud, professor of Islamic studies at Virginia Commonwealth University, was the first woman to lead a public mixed-gender Friday prayer. She also delivered the Friday sermon. Dr. Wadud, the author of the groundbreaking book Quran and Woman, Rereading the Sacred Text from a Woman's Perspective, is an esteemed scholar of Islam who affirms the right of Muslim women to be prayer leaders. It is a generally held view in the Muslim world and in the American Muslim community that women cannot lead mixed-gender prayer. This custom is pervasive and goes unchallenged. Research from the Quran and the customs of Prophet Muhammad demonstrate that there is no prohibition precluding women from leading mixed-gender prayer, and further, that Prophet Muhammad approved the practice of women leading mixed-gender prayer. Over the centuries, Muslim women have lost their place as intellectual and spiritual leaders. On March 18, 2005, Muslim women will reclaim their right, or did reclaim their right, to be spiritual leader, equals and leaders. Women moved from the space tradition has relegated them in the back of the mosque and prayed in the front rows. this is part of the Muslim Women's Freedom Tour, which in 2004 took on the issue of Muslim women gaining access to space and voice in American mosques. June 4, 2004, a group of seven Muslim women marched to the mosque in Morgantown, West Virginia, to reclaim the right of women to use the front door and the main hall of mosques. As in many mosques in the United States, women have been told to take a back door and pray in a secluded balcony. The historic march was a shot heard around the world, and images and reports from the march flipped across the globe. This is from the page MuslimWakeUp.com. If you would like more information about it, they have a very active forum, and blogs and so forth. You should read MuslimWakeUp.com. Prayer is better than sleep. I am at the moment attempting to ascertain if I can get some more information for you about the many black holes which have recently been created in a physics lab and which are critical to the theory of time travel as explained by internet time traveler John Teeter. I am in the process of researching that at this moment.
I'd like to hear you're on Coast to Coast.
You're listening to Mental Illness as a Technology and Vice Versa. I'm your ever-to-be-humble host, Andrew Octopus. Tom Flacco, F-L-O-C-C-O, a respected underground journalist.
You're traveling in another dimension.
Cable television news reports have recently linked an alleged male prostitute to this present White House. Since George W. Bush permitted James Guckert to use an unprecedented Secret Service approved alias, Jeff Gannon, while having access to the White House for 2 years as a pool reporter, serving the younger Bush, before which Gannon had advertised himself on internet pornography sites as a male escort charging $200 an hour. Gannon is the subject of independent news reports which have referred to him as the former kidnapped Des Moines, Iowa paperboy, Johnny Gosch, who was forced into child sex slavery. John DeCamp has told Tom Flacco, I believe Johnny Gosch and Jeff Gannon are one and the same person, but I am not in a position to know positively. During a recent phone interview, Noreen Gosch told TomFlacco.com that she is still not sure whether her missing son Johnny is in fact James Gannon because she has not seen enough evidence. But having been abducted in 1982, Johnny Gosch would now be about 35 to 36 years old. Gannon claims to be 47, but his website profile lists him as 31 in 2000, which would make him 35 or 36 years old today. This is the current hot theory circulating around the fringe elements of the internet. The case of Johnny Gosch, he was a very famous kidnapping victim from Des Moines, Iowa. He was a paper boy. And if you look at photographs, you can easily see that he does bear a resemblance to Jeff Guckert / Jeff Gannon. For those of you who weren't following the story, there was an organization called the Talon News Service, which basically turned out to be a website which just printed White House press releases verbatim. There was a reporter from there named Jeff Gannon, which it turns out was actually a Secret Service approved pseudonym, which is unprecedented in the field of White House reporters. And it begs the question of how and why this person was able to gain coveted White House access as a credentialed media reporter with the full consent of the Secret Service. And now there are many who are reporting and alleging that Guckert slash Gannon was actually former kidnapped Iowa paperboy Johnny Gosch. If you would like more information about the Gosch case, you can go to www.johnnygosch.com. That's www.johnnygosch.com. johnnygosch.com. Johnny Gosch reportedly appeared to his mother a few years ago and explained to her that he would always, for the rest of his life, because of some of the things that he had done and seen after his kidnapping, the rest of his life he would have to be on the run, constantly changing identities, and that he would never be able to return. So Noreen Gosch wrote a book called Why Johnny Gosch Can't Come Home. And you can find out more about that by going to johnnygosch.com. And also, in an interesting and ironic twist, about the first mention of the possible Gosch, Guckert, Gannon collection is that posted one the night before Hunter S. Thompson was found dead of an alleged suicide. Now, there are people who are claiming that Thompson had been working on a book about politically powerful people involved in the child sex trade, that he himself had been involved in directing films of that nature, and that he was worried that it would come to the light. Many different theories are circulating around, but you can find out more at tomflocco.com. TOMFLOCCO.COM. That's TOMFLOCCO.COM. From total411.info, originally from American Free Press, March 21st, 2005. 9/11 ticket agent disputes alleged airport video. He sat silent for years, keeping a secret Americans were dying to hear. Not able to talk, there were days he cried uncontrollably, cursing, days he pounded his fist on the table like a madman, cursing himself for letting Muhammad Atta and Abdul Aziz Alamari, two of the alleged 19 hijackers, slip through his fingers at 5:40 a.m. on September 11th, 2001. U.S. Airways ticket agent Michael Tui's brief encounter took place at the U.S. Airways ticket and baggage check-in at the airport in Portland, Maine. Working the ticket counter as he did almost every morning for 37 years, he remembered two clean-shaven, Arab-looking businessmen with tickets in hand approaching his workstation, both looking elegant and wearing suits and ties. He remembers they were running late for their flight. Both appeared calm. Not like you'd expect from someone knowing he's going to die, recalls Tui, now retired. The government claims the surveillance photo released in the Portland airport conclusively shows them walking through the security clearance gate about 100 yards away from where Tui checked the pair's tickets and bags. Critics, however, contend that the government altered the photos, since they were not a clear match of other independent mugshots released of Atta and Alamari. These same critics claim that Atta and Alamari never boarded the 19-seat airplane. This, they claim, is just another small piece of the larger 9/11 government conspiracy puzzle. Said Tuhi, I believe the two men in front of me on 9/11 were Atta and Alamari. I have no reason to believe otherwise. They looked like the same two guys that were in the mugshot shown to me by the FBI agents the same morning. One of the major inconsistencies between Tui's description of their appearance and the surveillance photo released was that the two men in the photo were dressed casually, in shirts without suits and ties, and there was no white shawl over Alamari's head. They left my workstation in suits and ties. I didn't see them take their coats off, recalls Tui. Asked if a surveillance camera was posted by his workstation, he said he was told by the FBI on 9/11 that the video camera had been out of order for several weeks and no other pictures were available. I had worked there a long time and never knew the cameras were broken until I was told by the agents, said Tuhi, adding they were installed by airport officials and not U.S. Airways. More to think about. Keep listening. Mental illness is a technology and vice versa. If you enjoy the program and have people who might like to hear it, you can email them. It's uploaded every week on www.radioforall.net. That's www.radio4all.net. Next week, we'll talk about Michael Jackson, possibly to regain control of the Beatles catalog, Michael Jackson being set up, possibly the possibility that Paul McCartney was assassinated and replaced by a lookalike in the late 1960s. Walmart's recent foray into banking, years ahead of originally anticipated dates, as well as more zine reviews, more internet kook conspiracy theories, more independent music, more time travel research, more audio graffiti, more of everything you've come to expect from Mental Illness as a Technology and vice versa. Keep your ear to the street until next we meet. Don't sleep. You're in too deep. This is a technology and vice versa. Keep your ear to the street until next we meet. Don't sleep. You're in too deep. Andrew Octopus saying, if you're not crazy, you're not evolving. Keep it right here. Free Radio Asheville, radio4all.net, etc., etc. Hit my theme music.
It's the youth and the woman that you're gonna be. Tell that boy he's wrong, girls are strong.